talk a little bit about mental health. Nearly 25 years ago, the U.S. Surgeon General David Satcher said there is no health without mental health. And there is a new study, a report out called The Economic Burden of Mental Health Inequities in the United States. And here to explain a little bit of what they discovered and things we can do about it, Daniel Dawes, professor and executive director of the Satcher Health Leadership Institute at Morehouse School of Medicine. Daniel, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Bruce. It's great to be with you today.
All right. So this sort of a clinical title of the economic burden of mental health inequities in the United States, what does that really mean to the layperson?
Well, you know, it really means that for 15 years, you know, I have been working hard to get an organization that was aligned with our vision and our research agenda to say, yes, this is worthy of studying and reporting out. And so we appreciate the efforts of Otsuka America Pharmaceutical that helped us to finally get this done. Because as you mentioned, Dr. Satcher did say, and he's consistently stated, that there is no health without mental health. And yet here we are today at a tipping point. You know, it quite frankly, Bruce, for 165 years we've struggled in this country to get our federal government, our state governments, our local governments, to get, you know, our commercial interests, the business community, to really look at mental health and to understand and appreciate the impact that it has on communities across the country. And when you really delve deeper, you know, and look at marginalized, minoritized, and medically underserved groups, the impact is even greater, and it does have a toll. So for us, what we found in this study is that we are losing, right, with this data, it really has a devastating cost. We've lost 116,000-plus individuals, and it's cost us $278 billion, which is a monumental impact for the inaction by these stakeholder groups.
One word, stigma. To me, that seems to be the barrier on that. How do you get past the stigma of what mental health means to people or brings to the top when you say something like that?
Yeah, stigma plays a huge role. I think that's one of the main reasons why we've seen this inaction, this dearth of attention being played, you know, on this issue. And I'll tell you, you know, as I've gone around the country, as I've gone to churches, you know, there's so many folks who have flipped papers to me and said, oh, I have a loved one who is struggling right now with depression or anxiety. What we've found is that over the last several years, going back 2013, we've consistently seen the trend in mental illnesses and substance use disorders rising. And it's been amplified as a result of the last 2.5 years with this pandemic, right, where folks were, you know, forced to quarantine and isolate. We've seen loneliness increasing. And so we do know that it has played a significant role. And yet we see stigma holding back many of these communities, right, who are afraid to say, hey, listen, I'm struggling individually, or my loved one is struggling. There's so many folks, I'll tell you, I have, you know, a personal story. Just last week, I had a cousin who had been hiding that she was struggling with bipolar disorder and had an episode where it finally came out, and they don't want to send her to a psychiatric facility because they are nervous about the embarrassment, quite frankly, right, and what others would think. So stigma is a real issue, and it's one that we have to work hard to overcome.
Let's talk about some other things, too, related to maybe even policy change, inequities that need to be addressed. What kind of policies could there be, and where are the inequities at this point?
You know, another great question. So, you know, we talked about policies being, you know, there's a dearth of policies in this country that address mental health. And I just want to quickly say that it took us, you know, going through two major world wars, World War One and Two, when the country was really on its knees from a mental health crisis, where 20% of young people were unfit to enter the military because they had a mental health issue, or 40% were leaving the military at the time in 1946, and 60% of the hospital beds were being occupied, right? It took that for us to finally get the first piecemeal policy that created the National Institute on Mental Health. Well, that has been the approach in this country relative to mental health. So in terms of what we can do now, we have some existing policies. We have, you know, Medicaid expansion that many states need to really focus on. We know that when you look at the Affordable Care Act, it's probably the most comprehensive mental health reform policy we've ever realized in this country. And yet there's so many mental health provisions in that law existing that we haven't implemented. So we need to do a better job integrating primary care and mental health services. I think we need to do a better job with ensuring parity in payment to providers, to, you know, psychologists, psychiatrists, psychiatric nurses, and so forth, who are involved in this field, so that we can attract more folks, because there is a dearth of, or there's a shortage of health professionals in the mental health space. So I think if we did those and focused on those immediately, those would really help to move that needle of mental health equity forward.
A lot of times our primary physician has more expertise in other areas. They know about bones. They know about our organs and things like that. The brain, the mind is still a mystery in a lot of ways. How do you get the first, like the line of first people sort of to be inclined to maybe understand the treatment that's needed for somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Patrick Kennedy tells me all the time that we all need a checkup from the neck up, right? And diseases of the brain, really, there's this hierarchy of chronic diseases. And unfortunately, I think because of, you know, to your point about stigma, too many of us fail to recognize that the brain is a critical, is a vital organ to our systemic health, and we do need to pay greater attention to this in the healthcare field.
Where can people find out more about some of the things that are in the report, or understand maybe what they need to know individually to help them, their loved ones, or just to understand how they can be better in the community regarding this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Bruce. So they can go to the Satcher Health Leadership Institute website. It's satcherinstitute.org. And on there, on our front page, they will see the link to the report, The Economic Burden of Mental Health Inequities. They can download it and use it and share it.
Yep. I know you sometimes sort of think, well, it's not just happening to me, but as you say, some people are suffering quietly, and you more than likely have impacted somebody or imparted with somebody who has some sort of a mental illness of whatever degree it is. We just need to embrace it. Daniel, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for your time.
Daniel Dawes, professor and executive director at the Satcher Health Leadership Institute at Morehouse School of Medicine.